Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Why did that teacher prop open the door at Robb's Elementary in Uvalde, Texas? Why and when did 18-year-old Salvador Ramos engage in advanced planning for this attack to be executed on that day and at that time, to kill his grandmother and then kill 19 children, most of whom were only 10 years of age, and two teachers? And why were the Texas Rangers on scene told to treat the incident as a barricade hostage scenario instead of what it was, an active shooter scenario? Especially since everyone, including the parents gathered outside, could hear this guy was actively shooting children. I'm sure it was all just, you know, one of those things. I'm sure there were no shadowy figures lurking about in the background of Ramos' life like there was in that character at Buffalo. Surely no one saw the profile of this young man, made him an ideal target to be recruited and groomed and then triggered to commit this atrocity or one like it. Because we all know that there's no shadow government bent on protecting their coup at any cost and advancing their plan to destroy America and enslave her people. There have never been Nazis. Oh, come on. There have been no Hitlers or Mussolinis or Stalins or Pol Pots or Maos or Roman Catholic Inquisitors, right? You know, who conspired and carried out mass murder? Those things just don't happen. But 18-year-olds set out to plan and execute that plan to attack an elementary school and kill 19 children because the gun called his name, right? This was not a spur-of-the-moment, isolated, rage-triggered incident. The kid planned it, and he telegraphed his intentions. So, where are these people he contacted to signal that he was on the move? Did he receive a message informing him the door would be propped open, or was that everything was in place? It was time? Why do Democrats want to disarm American citizens? Well, they know that's not going to happen, so... Because there are more guns in the hands of private citizens in America than there are citizens. So let's rephrase the question. Why do Democrats want to make owning firearms illegal so they can deploy the full power and force of government to, by violence and compulsion, take our guns and rob the people of their right to keep and bear arms sufficient to protect them from a rogue government usurped by stealing the power of the Americans to vote? Why would these deep state globalist traitors want to take away our inalienable right of self-protection and turn these gun owners into criminals, into transgressors of their law? It would not be because they plan to undermine all our inalienable rights, would it? The Second Amendment, along with the First, gets in their way. They have stolen our voice, virtually, and our vote. Without a free and independent and honest press, and liberty to speak our mind freely and without a free and honest election. Well, the government is no longer ruling at the consent of the governed, but rather the governed are living at the consent of the government. Put the government in the hands of liars and cheats, and you have a lying and cheating government. Put the government into the hands of wicked people, and you get wicked government. By the way, that word wicked is an interesting one. In the New Testament, it translates kakos, something or someone that is without value because it lacks proper values. It refers to someone depraved and so destructive of good, injurious and so evil. Keep in mind, our association of evil with sin comes from the fact that sin, transgression of the law, or the laws of nature, of nature's God, brings evil, the destructive consequence of sin. The destruction we are experiencing right now is directly the consequence of the actions of wicked rulers. And that is the reason, the Bible says, when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn, and describes the wicked as a roaring lion and a raging bear. It says, so is the wicked ruler over the poor people. And by the way, the word poor there in Proverbs 28:15 is not talking about those impoverished on account of their laziness or the poverty of those suffering the consequence of their own wickedness, their own rebellion against the laws of nature, of nature's God. drug addiction, all that business. It's talking about those who are weak or thin, and it's not speaking about their physical stature, but rather their spiritual, material, and sometimes mental capacities. Those who are positioned purposely to be too weak to defend themselves against a superior force are a poor people. Like the many who caved into the pressures of a government obsessing with power and were driven to suicide during this wicked COVID business, are those whose businesses were wiped out by these wicked rulers who, like bears, ranged through our lives, destroying everything in their wake. While, like lions, they roar over the captured prey in arrogant defiance, prancing about the world, leaving Godzilla-sized carbon footprints, despising their own mask protocols and mask mandates, herding the pitiful and helpless people like their personal cattle, turning our land into their ranch, where they keep their cows and pigs and send out their pet dogs to keep the cows and pigs and their goats in line and their goats to go about butting the sheep. Then the wicked become your keepers, and your purpose in life is to service their appetites. They want you poor because then you're weak and much more easily kept, and when kept, much more easily preyed upon. So you better pray to God of heaven, or you'll become prey to the usurper god of this world. Give power to the children of disobedience, then disobedience feeds the power of the wicked that rule you. People like Biden and Hillary and Obama et al., we can put a long list in here, they don't subordinate themselves to law. They elevate themselves above the law, and then use the law to impoverish and then enslave the poor people. They are like their father, the devil, who manipulates the law of God to enslave the people, either by the tyranny of superstitious application of the law, or by seducing you to transgress, so he can use the law to oppress. Put wicked people in power, and you are under the power of wicked people. Give the government to the wicked, and you will have wicked government. Let the wicked work their way into positions of law enforcement, and, well, you end up with the enforcement of wickedness against righteousness. Put the righteous in positions of law enforcement, and, well, you end up with the enforcement of righteousness against wickedness. Put the sword of civil justice into the hands of the wicked, and it will be used to serve the interests of wicked injustice. The wicked are bent, twisted, set against nature and nature's God. The righteous are, by contrast, straight, set in service to nature and nature's God. Who are the wicked? Who are the righteous? Well, the wicked are contrary to nature and to nature's God, and they seek to set themselves over law, to make law their servant, to use the laws of men to overthrow the laws of nature and nature's God. Rather than bow their knee to our Lord Jesus, they would bow his knee to their will, but they can't. So they opt for the next best thing, bring the image bearers to heal at their command. Mock God that way, you see, they are lawless. And the lawless depend on violence and force to compel and coerce men in matters of faith, to dictate to them what they will or will not believe. The law and laws of the wicked are lawless. They make lawless laws, the sort that make a man an offender for a word, Isaiah 29:21, and that, quote, lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, end quote. You know, that's those pesky preachers of righteousness that point out their abuses and expose them. And, quote, turn aside the just for a thing of naught, end quote. Now, this word not refers to what is vain, worthless, temporal, empty. Like turning aside the just who demand justice for the J6 political prisoners. Like turning aside the just who cry foul against the cabal of corrupt politicians who conspire, on both sides, by the way, who conspire to steal both the voice and the vote of the people from them, and do it for the vanity of power and position. You know, the same vanity that inspired the chief priests back in the day, who in their day were equivalent to the religious and judicial establishment of ours, to rally the murderous religious leaders of their day to kill Christ in order to protect their place, their positions, their power, their prestige. Today's lovers of money and pleasure, more than lovers of God, under the quality of the wicked that separates them from the righteous, by the way. Oh, how they love money and the power it gives them to control men. The righteous are obedient to the laws of nature and nature's God and subordinate themselves to the law. They use law lawfully to establish justice through righteous judgment, and they do not use violence or force of compulsion in matters of faith, but appeal to the conscience of men to repent, to bow their knee to King Jesus. You see, they are lawful. The wicked pervert the laws of nature. They rebel against the Creator's design in nature. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's become absurd. They deny the laws of nature. They go so far today as to argue a male can carry and deliver a baby. And that a male can... They're just self-delusional. And these are the people telling us how to live our lives? They're telling us that a male can declare himself a female and compete in female sports, robbing women. Don't you see that all of this nonsense about gender disorientation robs women? They're the ones who ultimately pay the greatest of prices. Oh, it surely demeans men. It reduces them to pathetic, groveling golems, sacrificing their dignity for the delusion of it. For the mere illusion of glory, they destroy a woman's glory by displacing her from her place among men. Indeed, the Antichrist will not, quote, regard the desire of women, Daniel 11:37. So we are not surprised. The spirit of Antichrist, working in the children of disobedience, motivates them to despise the real interests of women and displace them and steal what glory God has reserved for them. And so, you see, if you make the wicked your rulers, don't be surprised if evil, if destruction, misery, mayhem, and ruin surround you while they ride your backs as if you were their donkey. So I call on you instead to be Christ's sheep. Hear the chief shepherd's voice. Gather to him, for your shepherd is both the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and you are indwelt by his spirit of righteousness and power. You have been made partakers of the divine nature. And so, though you are sheep, you have the spirit of the lion in you. And it's time, dear friends, for the righteous to rise against the wicked, for the lion in us to roar. Think not for any moment that Jesus calls us sheep because we're weak or poor or helpless or defenseless. First, he called us his sheep. He said, my sheep. They are unique. Only his sheep are possessed by the spirit of the Lamb of God, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Second, the quality he noted in his people that inspired this observation is this: like sheep, distinguish the voice of their own shepherd from all other voices and come only to his call. Jesus said, my sheep, hear my voice and follow me. They will not follow the voice of the idol shepherd. And that word idol is I-D-O-L, as in idolatry. The shepherds whose God is their belly, who through their covetous idolatry consume the flock. No, these flocks are not of Christ. Those sheep are not his sheep. Indeed, move among them, and under the sheep's woolen costume, you'll see the feet and snout of pigs. You'll smell the vomit on their doggy breath and hear the snarl of wolves. And Christ's sheep quickly discern the roar of the devouring lion distinctly from that of the divine lion, the real Lion King. His sheep, like Jesus, the Lamb of God, have in their bosom the roar of the Lion of God. And it is time to roar, beloved of God. It is time to gather to the call of the chief shepherd and in unison roar. Kiss the Son, ye lawless devils. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. They, the unrighteous, the wicked, have almost taken away our voice and our vote by encroachment upon our First Amendment protections, leaving us virtually without power to redress our grievances against our government. And now they will aggressively come after our right to protect ourselves. They would make us powerless to resist their tyranny. It's time for God's people to submit themselves to God, so that they might resist the devil and compel him to flee, and all his minions with him. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I need to complete my comments on the question posed in the first segment. I began with, why did that teacher prop open the door at Rob's Elementary in Uvalde? And by the way, the latest on that is the teacher in question was, we're told, helping someone deliver food through that door, and that she closed it. And the follow-up on that is, well, the shooter entered an unlocked door, we're told. That's interesting, since the police had to wait for someone to come with a key to unlock the door on the other side of the building in order to let them in. So she left the door unlocked? Why? And the shooter told his friend, maybe two of them, that they would know what he was about to do before 11 a.m. And the last communication was that he was going to shoot up a school. And he happened to arrive at the school when the door was unlocked, and he went directly to that particular door at that particular time, and it could have all been coinkydink. And why and when did 18-year-old Salvador Ramos engage in advanced planning for this attack? To be executed on that day and at that time, to kill his grandmother and then kill 19 children, most of whom were only 10 years of age, and two teachers. And why were the Texas Rangers on scene told to treat the incident as a barricade hostage scenario instead of an active shooter scenario, especially since everyone, including the parents gathered outside, could hear this guy was actively shooting their children? I'm sure it was all just, you know, one of those things. Surely it has nothing to do with the Democrats using every atrocity like this to push their gun confiscation agenda. And make no mistake about that, my friend, that is the agenda, because we are headed for a Australian-style forced buyback program so they can do to us what they did to the Australians during this nonsensical lockdown. I hear good reports that they're waking up over there, too. By the way, Fauci has revealed it all. Actually, that phony has let so many cats out of the bag, it's empty. Anyway, Mongino put it out there for us. Fauci admits it's not about mandates on the plane so much as it is about centralized government power. The issue is that decisions about public health, he says, belong with the health public agency as the only people who have that authority. You see, it's about authority, so it's more a matter of principle, Fauci said, of where the authority lies. Quote, unquote, exactimo, as Poirot would say. It's about where the authority lies. It's about the public health versus personal health decisions. You are losing your right to make personal decisions about your health in the interest of public health safety, of course. Only the problem is the people making decisions about public health are a pack of corrupt politicians who've said just about everything that there is that can be said on a span of the ridiculous to, well, it somewhat makes sense. I mean, this is certainly a case of the blind leading the blind, let me tell you. And these corrupt politicians with their hands in the pockets of Big Pharma and who are read in on the globalist plan to make sure you have nothing and are happy, who want to turn the public into their slaves. So we're losing personal autonomy and freedom over health decisions, something they scream angrily about regarding a woman's right to choose, right? Even though, in that case, they're talking about a right to decide life or death for an entirely separate person, the baby in her womb. But when it comes to your personal health decisions, like whether or not to take a vaccine or wear a mask, they're going to take that decision away from you on behalf of the health of the collective, something they call public health. But we have no more reason to trust these decisions to the corrupt individuals running our government establishment medical agencies, you know, such as the CDC, than we have to trust yahoos like Biden with decisions about what guns we can own. That idiot thinks a 9mm round will blow the lung of a criminal hit by it right out of his body. Think about that. Beside the fact that he is a macaroon who knows nothing about guns because he has no need to. He's surrounded by men with guns to protect him. He does not need to worry about that. But listen to this murderer who would advocate for policies that leave you without the same protection he uses your tax dollars to buy for himself. He thinks having a weapon that he imagines would blow the lungs out of a rapist, that's too much power to give the people, you know. But get my point here. These macaroons think giving the people the power to defend themselves with a weapon they suppose will blow the lung out of an intruder into your home, there to steal from you and pose a serious threat to the life and safety of your family. Well, he thinks blowing such a person's lungs out, well, that's just too much power to give to the people for their protection, but he certainly has it to protect him, doesn't he? And I say any politician who cannot trust the people with the power to protect themselves with weapons equal to and superior to what these common criminals can get is a lousy, good-for-nothing scoundrel who has something else in mind. A little something up their sleeve, my friend. I think these people are planning to prey on us, giving up our decisions for our health and safety to people who want to jab us with a vaccine but refuse to give full and informed consent, who want to strap a mask on our faces that they know, scientifically, will not provide protection against something so small as a virus, something phony Fauci himself said and knows. Look, I've examined 241, I counted them lately, 241 scientific studies on this subject, over 150 of these specifically attempting to prove masks do work. And every single one of them actually proves, without any room for any reasonable doubt, that not only do these masks not work as source control to protect the public or as PPE, personal protection, they are in fact harmful. And if worn for prolonged periods of time, exacerbate the sickness of a host and enhance infectivity to others. I'm writing my little booklet on this. It will be done soon. You'll be blown away when I expose the liars who are pushing this mask thing as a challenge for authority to subdue Americans into their control. So we will unquestioningly take their jab and give them our guns. I would no more trust an establishment medical professional trying to force me to wear a mask and take their jab than I trust any politic. A poly is a word that means many, and tick is a blood-sucking creature who tells me that an AR-15 is an AR, get it? Assault rifle? What? Who surrounds themselves with armed guards and guns that they say I don't need for the protection of my safety and the safety of my family. Personal liberty versus public safety. The best way to ensure public safety is to get out of the way of personal liberty. I talked to that last Sunday night from the ship's helm, the pulpit of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Right now, I'm going to let you in on what Jesus said about personal protection. When it comes to your health, you are given individual responsibility as stewards over your body, which is God's temple, and you have no authority to surrender your body to the government. He said it this way, render to Caesar what is his, and to God what is his. How fitting for us today that the basis of this was what bears the image and likeness of God belongs to God. You have stewardship over your body under God. And Jesus said you have no right to surrender it to the government. Put the government in the hands of wicked men, and you get wicked government, reaching its power, greedy tentacles into every facet of your life, and never content until it owns not only your things, but your body too. And not only your body, but your beliefs, your brain, your mind as well. As Bongino reminded us, Orwell's 1984 was not written as a blueprint for the wicked rulers of our day to take away our personal liberties. It was written as a warning to us to not let them do it. And when it comes to arming yourself, listen to what King Jesus says and decide whether you will live under his rule or if you will bow the knee to Biden and kiss his ring and grovel under the jackbooted heels of these would-be dictators, because it's about who has the authority for them. That's what it's all about, the government or the people. And who will the people serve, the government or will the government serve them? And the answer ultimately comes down to this: you will bow the knee to Christ, the King, willingly, and so find the truth that will make you and keep you free, or you will bow the knee to Christ later when you, like it or not, when he comes with the saints to execute the divine wrath of God upon the ungodly who have crept into our government at all levels and settled in to entrench themselves deeply while we slept under the great swelling words of the so-called men of God, busy turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord that bought them. For Christ will come to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Christ. That's all in the book of Jude. Check it out. Here's what Jesus said about the issue of gun control. Luke 22:35-38, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip, that's a wallet, let's say, or a place to keep your money and the money you keep, and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he quoted an Old Testament prophecy that says, "And he was reckoned among the transgressors." He went on to say, "For the things concerning me have an end." They said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." Obviously, he emphasized that. They went looking for them. And he said unto them, "It is enough." He alerted his disciples that some things were going to change. While he was here, they needed not concern themselves about having a place to live, keeping their possessions safe, or having scrip, that is money, and shoes and so on, to purchase what they needed, like food, clothing, whatever. Nor did they need to be concerned about self-defense. Now, that's going to change. You will need to provide for your own personal needs and self-defense. Look closely at this passage. He highlighted the importance of providing for your own self-defense. If necessary, he said, sell your garment to get a sword. And you don't use a sword for buttering bread, you know. But look even more closely. Jesus said his instructions to them would fulfill a prophecy that said Jesus would be numbered with the transgressors. Now, what about his instructions to them would make them transgressors with whom he would be numbered, if you follow my meaning? Right? It certainly wouldn't be his instruction to take a place to keep your money and the money to keep in it, right? It wouldn't be about shoes and garments and so on, but it surely could be and was, no doubt, about the sword. You see, because anyone that was not a Roman citizen was not allowed legally to keep and bear arms. That was contrary to Roman law. He instructed them to buy a sword, to sell their garment if necessary, and if necessary even, to allow themselves to be counted as transgressors to the unlawful laws. For you see, in America, it is not unlawful to keep and bear arms. In America, my friend, it's the reverse. It's unlawful to infringe upon this right. And as I've pointed out and stressed, these people are lawless. Mr. Biden, let me tell you what is not absolute. Your power is not absolute. Your health departments are not absolute. You don't have absolute power over our bodies, nor do you have absolute power over our protection, whether from plagues or punks or power-hungry politics. This Sunday, we have as our honored guest, Pastor Marshall Stevens from Calvary Baptist Church in American Canyon, California. It will be what we call an early service because our evening worship usually begins at 5, but on special days like this, we don't have an evening service. Instead, we have lunch together after the morning service and then meet for a short service afterwards. We are celebrating our church's anniversary, and you're welcome to come and learn something about the history of the Lighthouse. We begin at 9:30. Continue at 10:45, and then after the morning service, we break for lunch. You're welcome to join us, and then we reconvene, usually at about 1 or 1:30. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Dial 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. God save America, and I'll see you in church.
Every day, we see proof of the wisdom of our founders. We've acknowledged the right of unbelievers to make their own choice for or against Christ, but see how they're not content that we should make room for their rebellion? Daily, they attempt to force us to join them in it. They would force us to teach our children the life-threatening lifestyle of the Sodomites. They force us to fund the atrocity of baby murder. We have acknowledged it's their choice to receive or rebel against Christ, but they have used that freedom to take away our liberties. The battle for America is on. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Go to GodsWar2020.com.